All right, My Mars Project, welcome back to the After Show. After Show 132. We're back. The dynamic duo is back, Raf.
Finally.
Back from your trip, even though I was on a trip before that, but reunited at last. You've definitely missed the dynamic. So this week, we've got listener questions. Mm. This week, we are going to go over a few different things, including the 10,000 calorie challenge and some of our plans for traveling to the US, which is looking like it's going to happen at the end of April this year. So quite a few things going on. And then we're reviewing, of course, the most important discovery of our time, really, which is the Flat Earth documentary, Beyond the Curve.
On Netflix.
So that was actually sent in by quite a few of you. That was a big request. So for finally...
CrossFit is a dump, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So we're really stoked to be back and just jumping into it in general. So before we jump into listener questions, probably a good place to start is what we're really doing with this 10,000 calorie challenge. So give us a little update, Raf, on when Matt is arriving.
So he's arriving soon and we are going to hit it on the 23rd of March. Okay. We're going to have a few different diets available Matt Warath has put together. And it's going to be $10 joining fee. And 100% of that is going to go to a charity. We haven't released the name of the charity yet, but it's going to be to do with eating and to do with nutrition in some way. So it's obviously optional. You can just follow the diet if you want and not do that. But hopefully you choose the diet that is specific to you, whether you want to go clean or go filthy dirty.
Don't go clean.
I'm telling you, it's going to be a hard road.
Yeah.
So book out the 23rd. I would not book in any activities for you on the 23rd.
No.
Because your day will be busy.
Mm. Yeah, so yeah, I just like the idea that at least 100 people will be, because I don't think 100 from 100 people hit the 10,000 calorie. Look, you guys are listening, you're like, man, I can eat, I can do this. It's like, you don't know what you're in for.
Bro, until I had like 10,000 calories last night for dinner. No, you didn't.
You don't know what you're in for. So not all of you are going to make it, but look, those of you brave enough to take place in this, please join us. So we'll have a link, themymuscleproject.com/challenge. You can go in there, you can register. You can place your donation. And then as long as, we'll probably need 150 to 160 of you, I reckon. Once we all cross that line, we hit the 10,000 calories, then we'll be able to tick off that, yes, we hit 1 million total in 24 hours, and we'll be able to donate the money to charity. So that's what we need. We need a competitors list. We need people letting us know, I made it, I didn't make it, or how many you totaled in the end.
No shame in not making it.
Yeah, no shame. No shame.
We're zero from one.
We'll have a little guide. Well, every calorie counts, right? We'll have a little guide on how you can use MyFitnessPal to kind of track if you're on the way or not. And joining us unofficially, we've got Danny Kennedy from the DJK Instagram, DJK Fitness. And he was in the studio. We did an episode with him. It hasn't been released yet. But yeah, he's done a 10,000 calorie challenge before. And Rob Lipset looks like he'll be joining us as well unofficially. So we're going to... We're going to make this a little bit of an international thing, obviously.
We had John Meadows on today, and he's probably going to join us, but he is just doing that as a regular part of his routine.
It's just a Sunday. It's just a Sunday for him. So, look forward to that, guys. Register now, themymuscleproject.com/challenge. And, challenge yourself with food and do something for a charity. Mm. Yeah, it's a good cause.
It's fun.
All right, listen to questions. My new favorite part of the show. As I mentioned last week. Okay, so first question is from... VM Gillette, who asked a few questions last week, just back on the reel. Which is one quality/skill you would steal from each other?
My first reaction was obviously dunking. Can you dunk?
Yeah, I dunked once. Ooh. That time we were in America, in LA.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that on the court?
Yes, yeah. I did. We were very, very jet lagged. Were able to do it.
Yeah, first and only dunk. Maybe the ring was a bit lower, but yeah.
It's a good question. I would say in a fitness perspective, one of the most frustrating things is I'm not very powerful. And if I was to steal one thing on a fitness perspective, I would definitely steal your power. Particularly on like the air bike and shit, it just sucks. I just have like girl level output. I can hold it for a while. It doesn't make any sense to me. I can like do it for long, but then 10 seconds is like slightly slower than my 10 minute pace, which is just bizarre. So bizarre. I would take a bit of power away from Locke probably.
Mm. Okay, what quality would I steal from Raf? It's a good question. Maybe I should have thought about this more ahead of time. Well, obvious answer for fitness is squatting, because I can't squat very well, and he can squat in his sleep. But maybe a more interesting answer is like something outside of training, which should be more interesting. Probably, well, it's hard because sometimes, you know, you kind of like the way you are, so you don't really want to steal like personality qualities from other people, but you do have a very good like mind for analyzing situations very quickly. And because I'm always, and this is why we work well together, but because I only see sort of the finish line,
yep,
and I don't consider all the negative things that might happen along the way in anything, right? From like us booking a US trip to writing a training program or a training goal or whatever, that's that perspective is good. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that.
What's his name? Has that thing. It's like you can only ever really see the big picture or the way along it. Like no one can really see both.
So like you got the visionary.
There's a graphic and it's like one person sees the finish line and then in this graphic, like all the snakes and lions come out of the jungle. Right. And it's like one person can always see the finish line and only another person can see all the snakes and lions along the way.
Right.
And it's like almost no one really can see both.
Yeah, well, I guess I'd probably want to see the snakes and the lions. Yeah, I tend to skip over them. Yeah, I guess unless you have like a... Yeah, it's weird picking each other's personality qualities. It's kind of a strange...
I'd probably get the blonde hair.
Hey, that's not personality-based, but you can go for that. Imagine if we both got
fucking hell. We're gonna laugh and stuff. Yeah, that would be a bad choice.
You could just get your eyebrows done. Just one eyebrow. Oh, that was a good question. Okay. Second question from same person. Different person. No, same person. What would you do if you took over as CEO of CrossFit tomorrow?
Well, my initial reaction was lower the affiliate fees. First thing I'd do, make it $3, not $3,000.
Yeah.
For
the value that they're creating these days, it's basically worth nothing.
Super good question, though. Because it's such a good opportunity, I think, if you were like a leader of that sort of organization. And I think like, I do think there is unbelievably big missed opportunity in just not upgrading the level that is put out across the board in the gym. So yeah, just some basic manuals that he could start handing out, like best practices, you know, like don't force people to do it, but like, hey, if you're like you and you go to CrossFit gym, here's some like really good practices to like stop people getting injured and just like making the experience better and helping people actually stick to their diets and shit like that. I'm like, man, you could like change the world. If you've got 30% better results in every one of those gyms, that's like thousands and thousands of people that are getting in shape that wouldn't have got in shape.
Yeah.
So I'm just always surprised they don't bother with that opportunity. I'm sure they have their reasons. I have no idea. Probably would be out of money in about 2 months if I was running it. But I would try something like that.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. There's so many things I would do. I think that CrossFit has done a really bad job of dealing with bad PR. So they take on bad PR like people take on bad YouTube comments. You know, they fight fire with fire. They get angry.
Yeah. I feel like they have toned that down recently. I think maybe because some people got fired.
Yeah.
But they're like, yeah, 100 across the board.
The damage is done already.
They just have the strangest attitude in terms of retaliation.
Yeah. I mean, for such a big organization, fighting fire with fire is just amateur shit, you know, like, and they just did it for such a long time. Maybe they would argue that's part of why they got so much attention. You know, because they're just like this ruthless, you know, CrossFit movement, you know, we're hardcore, but it's just shit. It's just not good for the brand. It's not good for the affiliates. It's not good for just the overall publicity. And that's why CrossFit's taken such a hit. That's why it just got so much bad PR that, you know, so many people that we face now in the gyms have come up to them. They're just like, oh, we know it's dangerous, but we want to give it a try because we want to try something else. So,
like, I'm happy to die. I know this shit's crazy dangerous. Like, this is like base jumping.
Yeah, look, at this point, I'm ready to snap my spine.
I want extreme shit. I'm going to walk into a CrossFit gym. That should not be how people walk in.
Yeah. Look, yeah, it's a tough question, but that's definitely the first place I'd say is make the organization a bit more friendly and a bit more loving and a little bit less hostile, which I guess it is a little bit these days, but it did so much damage in the beginning. Posting photos of guns for the winners and stuff for the games. Like, it's not
helpful to your gyms. Like,
nah. Not a good way to run CrossFit. And look, a lot of the stuff...
Do you think it's because guns are safer than CrossFit workouts?
When you use the safety switch, yeah.
Or it's like, okay, guys, we've got this big injury problem. We're going to use the power of contrast. Guns are so dangerous. It's going to make CrossFit look so safe.
Let's post about it. Yeah, I mean, man, they just did some wild, wild west shit.
Yeah.
That was just like the attitude they took. I disagreed with it. And I think a lot of people probably felt like at some point, Glassman and his media team would have grown out of that phase. And I think when they saw that it wasn't really happening and they're still hanging around paying their affiliate fees, they got very disheartened with the whole thing and the whole movement. And that's why CrossFit lost a lot of people. That's why it is where it is today.
I wonder if they're correcting the mistakes now they're like growing in the, you know, just developing regions like South America. Like maybe they're doing it better this time. Because it did seem like they didn't transition from like a small underground rebellious community into like a mainstream thing. They were like still behaving like that even when they got there. You know, like some of their communication is just beyond belief.
Yeah.
You know, like starting a season and bringing out the rule book halfway through, that is to me just, it's just so surprising. And it can be, it's just annoying, I guess.
Yeah.
I think everyone that works in it feels like that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Turn this away from a CrossFit HQ Ripfest. So, next question is from Lee Man Martin. So, Lee Man Art Martin asks, what is your best advice for a CrossFitter that has good strength and skill, but poor conditioning?
Okay. This is a controversial answer after watching this for so long in my gyms and everyone trying. I would just probably not choose CrossFit as a main sport for you. Because in my experience, the people that really don't tend towards that, they are like beating their head up against a brick wall. And you just spend all your time on something that doesn't seem to suit very well to your body. I feel like overtraining and problems like that just creep up more with those people. Not to say you can't like get better at it for sure, but maybe just think about, hey, if you like really want to get good and like be competitive and like win competitions, like maybe pick a sport that's really in line with your talents.
That's not a controversial answer. It's a good answer, actually. I would agree a lot. I think...
Because you almost fall into that camp.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%. I would smash myself with conditioning, and how much my conditioning improved, you could argue, is very, very minimal.
Yeah.
And it was not fun. I didn't enjoy training conditioning because it's way out of my essence. So, like, I feel average most of the day post conditioning sessions. Now, I do some just, like, for overall health and stuff, but, yeah, when you play to your strengths a little bit more, which I think just will naturally happen over time. You don't want to like smash weaknesses every single day of your training experience, especially when you train less. You don't have much time to train. And, you know, your purpose is not to win competitions as much. Then it's like, why am I doing this? You know, why should I should probably enjoy things a bit more. You'll actually find that the things that you're good at, you get way better at them, like a lot faster. Like you get heaps, like that process accelerates somewhat because your body's not trying to recover from such difficult stuff. So it's such like, if conditioning is really tough for you on your energy systems and it's hard on your nervous system to recover from, it's your body's going to spend most of its recovery units trying to repair itself from that process. So the things that you're good at, you're not going to get as good at. And to be honest, I'd rather be good at like two or three things and really good at them than like super average at a lot of things. And that's obviously changed over time.
Yeah, I feel like the cranial weaknesses thing has honestly just got so confused. Like, if you have like bad hip mobility, that's like a good weakness to train. You're like, oh, like I know I've got a bit of weakness, like my right hip doesn't work functionally. Like, yeah, you should work on that. It's important to work on things you're not good at. But if you're like, man, I'm just like naturally have the worst endurance. My parents have bad endurance. I'm going to take up competitive cycling. That's stupidity. Like, you don't have to just pick sports you are terrible at. Like, Michael Jordan didn't do that. He picked the shit he was so good at, and he just went full head. And I think you like pick the sports and pick the endeavors that you are naturally awesome at, and then work on your weaknesses within that. Because you still will have a weakness even in a sport you're excellent at. But I think just like, man, sometimes you're making life hard if you just like pick like the sport you're really, really not suited for. And CrossFit is an endurance sport.
Yeah. Okay, but if you do decide you want to still do CrossFit, what advice would you give?
For what I've seen, if you know, if you fall into like that camp, what was the last name of Danny, the guy who was an OPT athlete?
Danny Nichols.
Danny Nichols. Like he, I remember seeing his training program, he would have, it was like, he averaged about an hour and a half, 7 days a week of conditioning. And when I've seen those guys that are like super strong already and just naturally good at that, you just do a ton of aerobic work and you like, they almost like change who they are as people. And their lifting numbers don't seem to change that much anyway.
Yeah.
But you have to go like extreme and you like can't do a template program.
No.
because those guys tend to do template programs because they're so good at them. And yeah. they smash the lifting like in the sessions. But then when it comes time to the open, they just suck every year.
Yeah.
And you've got to go down that path.
Yeah.
You've got to go individual.
Yeah. And if you've been listening to the show for a while, then you know that you're going to start at the base. And the base is steady state conditioning yeah. work, which is hours
and hours
and hours of jogging, single skips, rowing, bike, skiing. So if you're prepared to go through all that stuff, go for it. But that is what is going to take up the base. And then as you move towards the tip of the pyramid, middle of the road stuff, your open workout style energy system, and then your super high intensity stuff, you're going to do way less of that. The ratio is going to be like 25 to 1.
You can't skip building the base. And it's funny, people like forget, they're like, oh man, I have to do like an hour of conditioning. That is like so much with like my heart rate up. Because it does seem like a lot, right? Like on your programs, like hour bike. But if you just played sports growing up, you know, if you think back like when you had rugby training or soccer training, whatever,
yeah.
like man, you'd have, you know, an hour and a half of training. You might be like running around and moving the whole hour and a half. And that was every day.
Yeah.
And then you do, and so like people that have pretty good aerobic systems and we've played sport our whole life, like you've put in those hours.
Mm.
It just now it seems really boring because you're not playing a fun sport. Mm. So all of a sudden, like, yeah, an hour a day, 7 days a week seems like chaos.
Mm.
But lots of us that played sports did that.
Yeah. Which is just a good sign to say maybe if you want to get better condition, you should just pick a sport.
Yeah, man. Like, pick up touch rugby or touch whatever and just play that for an hour and a bit every single day.
Yeah, it'd probably get better.
And you're going to get so much more time with elevated heart rate and your body doesn't really know what... doesn't matter.
You're not thinking about it as much. You're not so like, much I'm more doing fun. Conditioning.
Yeah. If you just go in the gym at 6 a.m. and do the Miko Sailor, like the closet rower, I don't know if that's for everyone.
Nah, that's not for me. That's not for me. All right, good questions, guys. We will get to more of them next week. So, what we have coming up now, we want to talk about a little bit of the training journal goals, the new ones. I actually set these with the listeners, Raph. You weren't, I don't know if you listened, you weren't here. So, April 1st, officially, we are going to start our new 100-day training journal goal. And I've said that in order to join us, you obviously, I said that the factor that I feel like helped me achieve the goal was the journal, obviously. So, highly recommend getting a journal. However, to join us on the journey, of course, you can join us any way possible, but we would love to set a mass amount of barbell goals. So, if you have a barbell goal in mind that you want to get better at, squat, deadlift, Olympic lift, any of that sort of stuff, even if it's just like a bent over row or something that you want to do, join us on April 1st for 100 days to chase that goal. So, pick up a version of the training or the version of the training journal, trainingjournalbook.com. And if you use MMP15, you get 15% off. So I chose the goal and I just started training for it this week.
Well, it's cheating, bro.
No, just to prep, just to see where I'm at.
Good point.
I'm trying to power clean 160.
Oh, nice.
That'll be my goal. So I've gone under 155. I can pull it high enough, so I know it's there. So it's around a 5 kilo improvement.
Mm.
Whereas the bench was like a 20 kilo improvement. 25 kilos.
That's a good one. I can't put more thought into what I'm going
to
choose.
I reckon you're going to have to front squat 200. What's your biggest front squat?
184.
Oh, bro. You front squat 200. That would be hectic.
I'll think about it. I just would like to give my collarbones...
Yeah, I was going to say, the collarbone. I can imagine how swollen your collarbones would be.
But yeah, that is going to be fun. And the barbell goals are great. Like, it's not that the barbell is the best thing. It's just that they're so measurable.
Mm.
And you kind of... It's really easy to gauge like how much improvement is possible in a time frame. So, it's sick.
Yeah. So, that's what you guys have to chase.
Looking forward to it.
All right. Before we jump into the next part, guys, obviously we mentioned Beyond Macros earlier helping us 10,000 calorie challenge. He is doing an open food guide at the moment. So, if you are doing the CrossFit Open and you want to get basically like a, what is it, like a fueling template?
Say? It's a nutrition guide for the open.
Yeah. Check that out. It's at beyondmacros.com/open.
Open.
There you go. So check that out.
I can tell you from experience, eating properly during the open, fuck, it makes a difference.
Big difference.
It's just a 5-week game of recovery.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Big time. And yeah, you want to educate yourself on that stuff as much as possible.
Don't go paleo. That's what I can tell you from experience.
Yeah, probably.
Don't cut during the open.
Yeah. Don't go low calorie. Yeah, don't cut carbs. Okay.
Awesome. Netflix.
Netflix. So today, Beyond the Curve. Now, I did not realize how big the flat earth movement has become.
Unbelievable.
It is absolutely shocking. So,
it's called Beyond the Curve. Yeah. The documentary is on Netflix.
It's filmed exclusively in America.
and they... I would describe it as a very sympathetic view towards the flat earth movement. So, they follow like this main guy who's like not the founder of Flat Earth. I don't know if you can be a founder of Flat Earth, but one of the founding people in Flat Earth. And it just like makes them, it kind of like, oh, like don't be mean to them is basically the point of the movie. But it is eye opening. Just seeing like how many people can really get on board with this thing. They basically think the earth is flat. They think it's like flat and it's like a dome. And like, go like the Truman Show type of thing. So you're like flat and it's like a big dome around you.
Well, some of them believe that and some of them don't believe that.
Yeah, it's like, obviously that's the problem with conspiracy theorists. It's like even in there, they're like conspiracies about the conspiracies.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so basically it's like it's a bit of a conspiracy and then in the dome, you're looking up and the stars and shit are all just like on the outer edge of the dome.
They're just lights apparently.
Yeah, and NASA is obviously, they're not big fans of NASA.
NASA. You mean NASA?
NASA. It's NASA with an Australian accent.
No.
Yeah, dude, it's like arse and ass.
No. No one in Australia calls it NASA.
This is like the, I'm a conspiracy theorist of NASA. Okay, so NASA. You're
the only person in the world that calls it NASA.
I've been corrected. NASA is, they're not big fans. And they basically think they hosted all the moon landings and stuff like that. But I would say it was like interesting from the point of view of just like how, you know, it's not surprising people can have different views on training when people can have different views on whether the earth is a globe or not. People just see the world very differently.
Yeah, literally.
It's like, it's amusing, but I think the people that made it were like way too nice to these people. How do we give these people time of day?
Yeah.
It's just like slowing shit down, these people. Like... This is not like an underground movement. Like, this is like, bro, this is silly.
Yeah, this is absolutely ridiculous. Well, they did bring on like psychiatrists and stuff to talk about.
That's what they need.
They did. Don't you remember that part?
Yeah.
They brought on the people to talk about the specific psychological conditions that these people suffer from.
So, I mean, like, these people almost need treatment.
Right. You know what it is what you sort of realize, and you know, you watched that guy get filmed, the sort of leader or whatever, the cult leader. And like living in his mum's house and stuff.
The best bit is how they're like, we don't live in our mum's basement.
He's living with his mum. He's living with his mum. Yeah.
What do you mean?
In the basement. Yeah.
He's like, such an untrue stereotype, living with our mum's basement. I live with my mum on the regular floor.
Yeah, in the normal bedroom. It's like, sweet, bro. No, I think the whole thing was like, what you start to realize is people need something to hold on to and believe. And I think for a lot of people in America, because there's so many of them, and there's only so much people can do when it's something that overpopulated, right? Is people just need something to grasp onto. People need a purpose. They need something that they believe in every single day. And as soon as they find these things, whether it's flat earth or vegan or CrossFit or bodybuilding or name whatever it is, they're a lot more excited about life. Their zest for life has come back. They're meeting people like them. You know, just imagine the first day you walk into the CrossFit gym and you're all like, oh, you know, this, that, I love it. You watch CrossFit games together, you wear the shirts, you put the stupid shoes on, like all that stuff. It's the same effect. It's the same wanting to belong to something. And these people have just found it through this ridiculous conspiracy. How many people like believe it as much as the actual guy? I mean, he has to start a lot of the ideas and produce the content for it. So he's like way deeper and like believes it way more than the people that are just kind of like absorbing the content, right? The followers, like the guy actually creating the movement and putting out the podcasts and the YouTube videos and stuff, like he's on a different level. Like that guy needs to be put down, but the rest of them, I just kind of feel like they're just following along to something that they believe in. It's become mainstream with like basketball players, NBA players, MLB players.
Obviously known the rapper B.O.B.
Yeah.
He's a flat earther.
Yeah. Like, It has got to the point where it has become quite stupid.
The unbelievable thing is that, yeah, you seem to be able to still remain like quite intelligent, because some of the guys are like clearly quite smart. They're like doing scientific tests and like, you know, that guy's like creating the like flat earth models and shit. Like that's hard. Like it's not like dumb as two bricks.
Yeah.
But something has gone wrong. Something in their life has gone seriously wrong.
Yeah, I don't know how. And they somehow weaved a love story into it as well.
Oh.
It's actually quite entertaining. Look, obviously, we don't believe the earth is flat. It's just a hilarious joke. Let's just put that out there.
But the people on the show believe it. Sorry. It's not like, all they are all in.
Yeah, yeah. Heart all and soul. In. Heart and soul.
That dude spent like 20 grand on that machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like clearly just showing that the earth is turning. And he's like, nah, this machine's broken.
Yeah. Like it's absurd. It's absurd that it's just that entertaining. So, look, I really enjoyed it. So, for me, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. It's just a great laugh.
I'm going to give it a 3 out of 5 just because I thought the person that made the movie was way too nice to the flat earthers. And he's like, nah, you got to be like really compassionate and like talk to these people. Whereas I felt like giving these people heaps of time of day and like be like, oh, that's an interesting point you have there. Was just like, it's just like slowing down life.
Mm.
Like people are just making unbelievable progress.
But slowing down life for them. So that's their problem.
Oh, I just mean like, I don't think we need to like engage like the way he thought and be like, you know, oh, that's a valid point of view. Like, let's investigate this together.
No, definitely not.
I feel like, man,
You waste your own time.
Yeah, you waste your own time. So that's how I felt a bit about it. So that's why I give it a 3, but I would recommend watching it.
Mm. I would also recommend that if you're listening to this show and you still believe the earth is flat, you have a problem. That's my theory. How can you listen to a show where we get so many scientists on, we talk so much about evidence, and you go and you believe in flat earth? You know, if you listen to this and you believe in flat earth, please send us a message on Instagram.
Yeah, it'd be phenomenal. I'd love to find out if we have one.
Yeah, I would love to know. But anyway, that's...
And I started watching something on the plane. So for next week, if you guys are looking for something to watch, you can join on with us. Losers.
Oh, yeah, I watched that.
We're probably going to review that next week.
Yeah.
So I think it's a Netflix original, maybe.
It is, yeah.
But it's like a series of episodes. I watched the first. You watched the first?
Yeah, the first one with the boxer.
I would recommend watching that, and we're going to review it soon.
So before we switch off today, guys, the show is brought to you by True Coach, truecoach.com/MMP. And look, if you coach people online, if you get coached online, it's just a platform to use. Once it starts taking payments, you can be fully remote from anywhere in the world, get paid, travel, write programs, do everything you love, all in one little thing on your phone and your computer. Super easy.
So if you are that guy with really good strength and power and skills and no conditioning, you need to be on an individual program on True Coach. Do not be on a template.
Get on the template. All right, guys, as usual, this is on YouTube as well. So find it there if you're looking for more of the video stuff. And yeah, plenty more to come this year. Raph, good to have you back.
And I'm excited for this 10,000 calorie challenge.
All right. So remember, themindmuscleproject.com/challenge, and we'll see you there.
Rip in.
Thanks, guys.